98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
A lot going on. Let's get you caught up on everything going on here on the Burns and Gambo show. It is the 4 o'clock reset, your daily opportunity to get caught up on all things in the world of sports. We start with the Arizona Cardinals. We had Cliff Kingsbury on our show earlier today. Provided us with an update on Kyler Murray's injured shoulder, said he'll hit the practice field tomorrow. They'll see where things stand. And he said, yes, that is in part why Kyler ran for so little at Seattle. We were protecting that shoulder.
I think probably having a little bit of a banged up wing there early. You know, we wanted to be safe and make sure that moving forward we didn't put him in harm's way. And so that was probably more than anything. And what I'd say prohibited him from running as much. But once again, Seattle did do a nice job with their front and did some different things to try and take away some of those lanes.
So only 15 yards rushing in that game.
Yeah, you know, almost like lose the battle to win the war. Not going to sacrifice Kyler Murray getting hurt when there's six games left in the season and they got aspirations to go to the playoffs.
The Arizona Cardinals also made it official today, signing defensive lineman Domata Peko today.
Good move. Solid move. Good veteran player.
Here's Cliff Kingsbury on that.
We're excited about the signing. First and foremost, VJ has some history there. I've only met him today, but have heard great things about his attitude, his energy, and he's a guy who's played at a high level in this league for a long time, so we're hopeful. We'll see how he looks this week and see kind of what he can handle, and we're hopeful that he can contribute at some point moving forward.
You knew help had to come, right? I mean, Corey Peters going down is a big loss for them. They've got bodies, right? They got guys that they could, Coley and Morrow and guys like that, but here's a veteran player, tough, hard-nosed kid, and been in the league for a long time. He should be able to help them in the final six games.
Jordan Phillips being on the IR doesn't help either.
No.
He's going to miss at least three games, so they're very, very thin up front.
That much is obvious. That signing looks a little risky right now, that Jordan Phillips signing.
I mean, he was productive early on. We haven't seen a whole lot of him lately.
Not that productive.
Yeah.
He was okay, but that, you know, you said it earlier, right? No way all three of those guys are going to play well.
No.
Jordan Phillips has not lived up to that contract.
No, the one who had until he got hurt was Devondre Campbell.
I think he
was the one of the three, along with Devon Kennard, who lived up to it. ASU and U of A basketball have had changes to their scheduled games this Wednesday. ASU will now play Rhode Island instead of second-ranked Baylor, while the Wildcats game against NAU has been postponed due to a positive COVID test within the Lumberjacks roster. So,
oh, man, the Lumberjokes.
A lot of moving parts with college basketball. There was a time there where ASU was going to travel to this tournament, but maybe play in a different tournament, and instead they asked Baylor to stay home, and they rescheduled Rhode Island at the last minute.
So everything we're seeing in college football, with all of the games being canceled, and we're going to see the same thing in basketball, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
College basketball?
Yes, we are. A lot.
The college football season has been an absolute disaster.
The biggest move of the NBA free agency period, a head-scratcher to many. Gordon Hayward headed to the Charlotte Hornets on a big money deal.
This was a strange decision on a couple of fronts. One, Gordon Hayward, you know, could have made $34 million this year and played on a contender and basically said, I want out of here to go play for a non-contender, in my view. And that's a little bit worrisome in Boston because now that's the third player in the last 2 years, max player, who's walked out of there for nothing in return. Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, and now Gordon Hayward. And you try to start scratching your head and wonder what's going on there.
That's Brian Windhorst on ESPN.
And he missed 142 games. Hayward missed 142 games, and they gave him $120 million in Charlotte. I mean, that was some gruesome injuries he had. Obviously, the Celtics wanted to keep him, but not for $120 million in 4 years.
No, and remember, Charlotte was the team he signed that offer sheet with all those years ago when the Utah Jazz matched it and kept him. So he's obviously wanted to play there for some time, and he just got $120 million from them, so you can see why he wanted to play there. Also today, the Lakers, busy during free agency. Marc Gasol, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Wesley Matthews. Here's more Brian Windhorst.
Look at the Lakers. I mean, they have acquired the guys who finished first and second. Dennis Schroeder was second in sixth man. Known for their offense, not as much for their defense. So when you look at the Lakers, the changes, they have infused their offense. There will be so much more support for Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But the way they play defensively especially is going to go a little bit of a shift this season.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Dennis Schroeder. The Lakers have been very active so far.
Yeah, they have. You know, the Schroeder signing, the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope signing. I mean, they're one of those teams that got better. Now, Rondo goes to the Hawks, so he ends up going there. A couple other signings. The Knicks got Nerlens Noel and Elfrid Payton. The Celtics, you know, try to rebound. They get Tristan Thompson. They get Jeff Teague. Jason Tatum signs that big deal for $195 million with the Celtics. So, busy weekend in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of and we knew it was going to be like that. We knew it was going to be very compressed, very busy, moving very fast. And that leads us into our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show, because that's exactly what it was for the Phoenix Suns as well. They were very busy this weekend. People were starting to wonder what exactly their plan was, because remember, it was at 4 o'clock on Friday when players could agree to terms, could begin negotiating, things like that. And we didn't hear anything from the Suns in the 4 o'clock hour or the 5 o'clock hour on Friday. And I don't think anybody was really doubting their intentions. We were just wondering what their intentions were. Well, we found out over the weekend, and the centerpiece acquisition for them, 3 years, $30 million for power forward, small forward, Jay Crowder, added over the weekend by the Suns.
Yeah, this is one of those moves where, you know, not that it came out of left field, but you knew that they had the non-taxpayer exception of a little bit under $10 million. And when you factor it over 3 years, you could get it to 30. That's what they had. There was going to be one big splash. Not a splash like Gordon Hayward's splash, but there was going to be a big splash for the Suns. People had asked me about P.J. Tucker. I said no. And Serge Ibaka and Danilo Gallinari and Aaron Gordon. And I shot all of those down. I did not know about Jay Crowder, but I knew about the players that they weren't going to go get. So when Crowder signed, that was the big splash. Yeah. He's going to start a power forward. He's a really good defensive player, especially in the paint. He's one of those guys you really can't muscle him. He can space the floor. He'll shoot the three a little bit. He'll space the floor, but he brings you a lot of toughness in defense.
Yeah, toughness is the key word there. That, the fact that he's a veteran, 8-year veteran. When you look at the Cam Johnsons, the Mikal Bridges, even the Dario Saric's, there's not a ton of experience there, right? Jay Crowder's played in 72 playoff games in his career. He's been to the battles with the Boston Celtics, with the Miami Heat. He was part of that big, deep postseason run Miami went on last year where he was defending Giannis. He was defending AD in the NBA Finals. I mean, Jay Crowder really, in his three-point shot, yes, it's inconsistent. It comes and it goes. It's hot and it's cold. But the Suns have shooters. The Suns have plenty of shooters. The Suns needed a guy like this. It was, for the money spent, about as good as they could have done at that position, given everything he brings to the table. And then there was the other moves that they did, bringing in new players over the weekend. In particular, Etuan Moore, the guard that they signed, who really rounds out their backcourt and gives them a three-headed monster there.
This is one of those guys that he's one of those rare guys. He can catch and shoot right off the dribble, pull up jump shots. I mean, smart, high basketball IQ. He's a scorer, not a playmaker. He's a combo guard, not a great playmaker, but catch and shoot, 45% from the field, 39% from three. They wanted scoring. They wanted shooting around, you know, Booker and Chris Paul. Moore gives them that. Again, you're 31 years old, veteran player. You're going to love his ability to catch and shoot right off the dribble. He's got a quick release. They needed somebody that could score the basketball. He'll be a guy that's part of that rotation at the guard spot, you know, comes in after Paul and Booker, and we'll get some serious playing time.
What I like, and you know, we talked about this a lot, what I like the most about this signing is and we spent a lot of time talking about DJ Augustine maybe playing this role, right? We talked about bringing in a third guard so that at all times you could have two of your three main guards on the floor at the same time, whether it was Booker and Paul, Booker and Moore, Paul and Moore, whomever, whatever combination. We've seen the numbers, we've seen the analytics, and last year when only Rubio or only Booker were on the floor, their efficiency numbers plummeted. But when both of those guys were on the floor at the same time, the Suns were one of the better teams in the NBA because of what that backcourt did. Signing Moore is all about that, to make sure that you've got, of those three guards, two can be on the floor at the same time to keep your efficiency at a very high level. It's a one-year deal. What, $2.5 million, right? $2.3 million, I think, when it was all said and done.
Veterans minimum.
Yeah, so.
And that's what they did. Listen, They signed these guys to the veterans. That's what they had available. They still have the biannual left. They still have that. They're probably going to save that for next year. I believe they're going to let Okobo go. I'm not sure on that 100%, but I don't think they really want him. He's not an NBA player. And they've got a decision to make in the next couple of days whether they're going to guarantee his contract. I'm leaning towards they're not going to bring him back. So far, we've hit on all the guys that they're not going to bring back, but I don't think that they'll do that. But the players that they brought in, man, they've got – you look at Jones, right? Bruiser. When you go up against Embiid, when you go up against Jokic, you've got a bruiser now, a freak athlete, good pick and roll around the rim, Moore, Crowder, Galloway. You know, you're talking about – Burns, you're talking about some really, really good depth that other teams in the league are going to be – jealous of the depth that the Phoenix Suns have.
And there was another one they added today, Langston Galloway. I know that acquisition made you really wonder about Ele Okobo and whether he was going to be back.
I've never thought that Okobo was going to be back, but there was always this chance because they had one roster spot open. Well, now they get Galloway, and I still think that they'll get rid of Okobo. I wouldn't bring Okobo back. Yeah. He's not a good player.
Galloway, 26 minutes per game last year for the Pistons, averaged about 10 points per game, shot 40% from the three-point line. So again, just adding to the depth in the backcourt, lots of options, lots of looks, lots of insurance, lots of ways you can manage guys playing time with this depth. James Jones has done some work this offseason, and that's only the half of it. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, we'll talk about the other half of it. Not only the players they went out and got, but the players on their own roster that they were able to keep, especially the ones who really cashed in on the bubble. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show. Jay Crowder, Etwan Moore, Langston Galloway. Those are kind of the new guys to the Phoenix Suns, all of whom have their... And then, of course, Damian Jones, the backup center. You briefly referenced him at the end of the last
segment. Yeah, it's just, they got two conventional centers, and they've got two other guys that can play, what you call flex centers.
Yeah.
So that's what they want. They have your two traditional centers in Jones and DeAndre, and then they've got the two flex centers, guys that could play there like Sarge and Smith. So you basically have four guys that could play the center position.
But if you're telling the tale of what the Phoenix Suns did this offseason in kind of this compressed period, you can't tell the story without talking about the guys on their roster that they kept. And in particular, two, and you and I spent, like a lot of us did here at the station, a lot of time talking about the bubble and just how much stock do you want to put into the bubble? How much do you want to look at those eight games and say, okay, that's it. That's the end-all, be-all. That's the deciding factor. Two of the guys that they decided to keep, Javon Carter and Dario Saric, distinguished themselves very, very, very well in the bubble. Very well in the bubble. I don't know if that's what led to the decision to keep them or not. I'm very happy they kept both of them. But Saric and Carter both. Saric got a 3-year, $27 million deal. Carter got what? 3 years, 11.3, I think, when it was all said and done.
Yeah, and these guys were priorities. I've there were so many people worried about Saric coming back, and I assured everybody he was going to come back. That he was a priority for them. He was their biggest priority on the team for all the players that they had. They needed to have him back. They love his versatility to play the four, to play the five, to initiate the offense. They really love how he fit in. Look, he played great in the bubble. I mean, every game was 16 or 18 points and 9 rebounds or 8 rebounds. He played extremely well. But there were some games before the pandemic hit that he was outstanding in. He had 24 points and 11 rebounds against Portland on March 10th. He had 24 points and 8 rebounds against Portland on March 6th. He had, a 16-point game against Toronto. There was 11 points and 9 rebounds with 3 assists against Golden State. So there was, you were seeing that, that he was starting to come on at the end before the season went away. He was starting to have some really good games. They were starting to figure out the best way to use him. Now, you go look at him early in the season, and it was hit or miss. It was hit or miss, but he was a major priority to bring back for them. They desperately wanted to have him back.
It's fair that you bring that up because I don't think it's fair to just look at Dario Saric as a bubble player. He was the numbers back up exactly what you're saying. He was really starting to come around. It's just that we don't remember it because that was, 2 weeks before the shutdown, right? 2 weeks before everything stopped. I don't have a lot of memories of what specifically happened in specific games 2 weeks before everything stopped.
I don't even know if I can remember the last game I went to.
Right, that's what I mean.
The last Suns game.
I'm sure if you looked at the schedule, you could probably go, oh yeah, that was the one I remember now. But
I'm going to say it was the Milwaukee game. I believe I was at the Milwaukee game.
Okay.
When they beat them 140 to 131, and they did not have Giannis in that game. That was the last game. I went to.
But so we have a hard time remembering what Saric was doing before the shutdown. We don't have a hard time remembering what he did in the bubble. In the bubble, he was playing like a man possessed. In the bubble, he was, and you know this, I've said this to you many, many times on and off the air.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorite parts about watching the Suns in the bubble.
Yeah, because
he was like a different guy. He was just playing with a level of aggression. Is he going to shoot like that for 3 years? No, of course not. He shot 52% from the three-point line in the bubble. He's not going to shoot like that over the course of a whole season. Don't need him to, but I do need him to play with that same level of aggression, because you talk about flex guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can play center. He can play power forward. Which way do you want to play it? How do you what style of team do you want to put out there on the floor? They've got a lot of guys. I mean, combining everything they've done, and this includes Carter, who's a defensive pest. Shot 42.5% from the three-point line last year. Again, he was kind of a bubble star, but he only adds to the versatility. You want to go a defensively strong lineup? Monty's gone that option. You want to go an offensively? You want to surround Devin Booker and Chris Paul with a bunch of shooters? Yeah. You can do that, too.
You're down and you want to play a little bit more than Carter and Payne? You could do that. You're ahead, you want to play Carter and Payne, so you have more of a defensive presence? You could do that. The flexibility, you look at the four spot. You know, with what they have with Jones and Saric and Smith, and then, you know, you look at your wings. I mean, they've got four guys that could play flex four, which means that they could play other positions besides just the four. You got four different guys that could do that, you know, because, you know, you've got two power forwards that could play center, and then you've got other power forwards that could play the three. So, you know, the versatility on this team, I don't know that there's many teams in the league that have more versatility among their players than the Suns have.
Yeah, they have a lot of different looks that they can give you. Now, there were guys that you had said all along they weren't going to bring back. Aaron Baines signed a 2-year deal worth about $15 million with the Toronto Raptors. We knew he wasn't going to be back. He's not going to be back. There, of course, were others. But all along, I had gotten the sense, talking to you, to expect Dario Saric and Javon Carter to be back. Dario Saric and Javon Carter are back.
Yeah, and that is something that was a priority to them as well. It was very important to them to make sure that those two guys were back, because there was defensive intensity. One of the things James also wants to do, too, is listen, there's got to be some continuity, right? I mean, you can't change out so many players. You get players you like. And the other thing that was really important to him is to make sure that he gets guys on multi-year deals, so you don't have a lot of guys coming in and out after 1 year. So that's important. So you got to have a couple of those guys. But you like a player, Dario Saric, 3-year deal. Javon Carter, 3-year deal. You know, Jay Crowder, 3-year deal. You like a player, you sign him to a 3-year deal. You don't want guys coming in and out every year and changing that. So the guys that they think are going to be here for when they make a run, they sign them.
James Jones, after the draft, talked about the foundation that is now in place.
Well, it's great to have a foundation. You know, we already have a foundation set. You know, the guys that are here with us, they've been, you know, grinding in the gym for the last 365 days. And whoever we bring in, they'll have to match that intensity, just that approach to getting to work. It actually makes it easier for us because we're focused. We know there are a few guys out there that are what we call Suns fits. And if we do our job, we'll add them and they'll fit in seamlessly, and we'll be ready. You know, there's no secrets. I mean, it's no secret. You know, our approach to winning games is to show up, work hard, execute, follow the game plan, and live with the results. And so far, since we've, you know, started this, we've had pretty good results operating that way.
And it's interesting to see some of the guys who were not Suns fits, and in particular, three of the four players that were sent out for the Chris Paul trade, three of those four players are now on
different teams.
Jalen Lecque was with the Indiana Pacers.
I did not know
The Thunder traded Lecque to the Pacers.
For what? Does it say what they got? I did not know that one.
For power forward TJ Leaf and a future second-round pick. So Lecque got spun off.
Okay.
Oubre got spun off.
Rubio
got, to the best of my knowledge, Ty Jerome is the only player left out of the players that were traded for Chris Paul that's actually still on there, and maybe something happened with him that I'm not even aware of. But yeah, those guys got spun off. Baines, good for him. found
we
a home.
We had said that, right, that Oklahoma City did not want any of those guys.
Yeah, and they proved it.
Yeah, we reported that. Yeah. Oklahoma City does not want these players. They don't want them.
Yeah, now individually, could the Suns, you know, again, they were able to package. And look, none of this, in my opinion, happens until Chris Paul happens. Chris Paul happens, and now James Jones thinks, okay, here we go. Window, it's open. Got to fill it. Window, let's go get a Jay Crowder. Window, let's go get Etuan Moore. With the window now, he sees it. It's there. The NBA is responding. We'll talk
Buck
more.
Buck loves what they've done.
Oh, yeah.
He loves what they've done.
He's got to be. I
he
saw.
He loves what
we got a story
done.
On ArizonaSports.com. He's FaceTiming some of the new guys. The smile on his face could light up half a Mesa. I mean, he's thrilled with what they've done. It doesn't surprise me to hear you say that he's happy with what they've done. He should be. The Suns right now have the fourth best NBA championship odds in the Western Conference. Let that sink in for just a second.
Yeah, I almost, you know, to see where they were last year, and you were excited about 8-0 in the bubble, and we thought, okay, they're ready to make the playoffs. Bar not doing anything, they should make, but you knew that they were going to make the roster better. What we didn't anticipate was that there were going to be some teams that we thought were going to be good that aren't going to be good. Golden State might be one of those teams. Houston might be one of those teams. But we knew the Suns were going to make the roster better. I think I'm a little surprised at how much better they made the roster. I think I'm a little surprised by that, you know, from the end of the season. Maybe a lot of surprise. I mean, you know, Chris Paul over Kelly Oubre, over Ricky Rubio, absolutely. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
But then you look at the other additions that they made, and look, they kept the guys that they wanted to keep. They let go of the guys. We knew they weren't going to keep Kaminsky. We knew they weren't going to keep Baines. We knew they weren't going to keep Diallo. I don't expect that they're going to keep Okobo. So they got rid of players that, you know, they felt weren't going to be a part of their future.
The Cardinals' next opponent, the New England Patriots, coming off a rough performance against a mediocre franchise. What is their loss to the Texans mean for Sunday's Cardinals game in Foxborough? We'll tell you coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, let's update everybody on our Twitter poll question of the day, brought to you by Sanderson Ford. And for that, we have, for many other things as well, not just for that, we have Sarah Cazell here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
You're no one-trick pony in there. There's many, many things that you do for the show.
I appreciate the clarification.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank
but
you.
Right now, your specific job is to tell us what's going on with this poll question.
That's right.
What do you have for us today?
Okay, we are looking at the Phoenix Suns and their offseason. The moves that James Jones has made as GM, how do you feel about those moves? How do you feel about the job he's done? I'm very happy. I am mostly happy. I am mostly unhappy, or I absolutely hate what he's done this offseason.
Very happy.
Very happy. I mean, it's
very happy.
I mean, they should be a 5 seed in the playoffs. 6 at the worst. I'm not even thinking 7 or 8. I'm thinking 5 or 6. They put together one hell of a roster. They're as deep as any team in the damn league with what they've done.
I was thinking about this, and this is going to sound like, I don't know, shallow or whatever. I was actually thinking, for the first time in a long time, it might actually be time to go out and buy some Suns gear. Seriously, right? Like, I've got a Cardinals shirt that
Did
I like to
wear. Did you not
wear
Suns gear when we were on the virtual for the bubble?
I borrowed a jersey.
Okay,
from
you borrowed
a
jersey. Okay.
I borrowed an Ayton jersey from a friend. I didn't have anything. I mean, I've got I represent just about all the other teams, you know, dry fit shirts, whatever, when I'm working out, I don't have any Suns gear. And it might, yeah, it's like, it's time to go shopping a little bit.
I mean, hopefully they hook you up with that new, the Valley line.
I don't.
Because that stuff looks nice.
Yeah, that looks really nice.
That looks
really
pretty
like
good.
That. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. What does our audience say about this?
Okay. The people are happy. The people are very happy.
We like it when the people are happy.
That's right. 56% of them are very happy. 39% of them are mostly happy. So very good to see there. 3% mostly unhappy, 2% hate.
Wow.
2% is just, those two, like that 2%, they just hate everything. There are 2% of the population, they hate everything. They just hate everything.
I think when
it's sunny out, I hate that. It's cloudy, I hate that. It's raining, I hate the rain.
Oh, we all know those.
Snow, and I hate the snow. It's Thanksgiving, I hate Thanksgiving.
On
I hate turkey.
Negative Nancy Twitter. I think 5% disagreeing with what you've been doing is pretty dang good.
Yeah, the hashtag Twitter people, right?
You Twitter people.
Twitter people. Hashtag Twitter people. Meanwhile, the Arizona Cardinals, mini bye week, coming off the loss to the Seattle Seahawks, got a chance, we all did, to watch the New England Patriots, and they did not play well against a two-win Houston Texans team.
On second and goal, here's Deshaun, back to pass. Watson looking, stepping to the right, throwing to the end zone, caught, touchdown, and there it is. Kiki QT with the TD reception, 6-yard touchdown pass as the Texans add to their lead.
Deshaun Watson carved that New England Patriots team up yesterday to the tune of 334 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He was the leading rusher for the Texans. Not that that's saying a whole lot. But Deshaun Watson's success against a defense that typically doesn't allow quarterbacks to have days like that really once again exposed how flawed the Patriots are this year. I mean, they had that huge long losing streak. They barely beat the Jets. Yeah, they kind of righted things a little bit with the win over the Ravens a couple of weeks ago. Man, that was a 2-7 football team they lost to yesterday.
I was looking at the just reading some of the Boston papers today about just how, you know, disappointing they were. And one of the things that they brought up is they think the playoffs are over for them. You know, and they said, listen, when you're, you know, where they 4-6, 2 games under .500, 6 to play, fewer wins than 9 teams in the NFC, playoffs aren't happening. So they started talking about what you want to see for the rest of the season, you know, with this team. Listen, there were some good things that happened for them, but for the most part, they just got railroaded early in that game. Deshaun Watson and that offense was really good. Career day for Damir Bird, the former Cardinal, had a great game at wide receiver for the New England Patriots. But, it, you know, the Patriots have had an 11-year run of making the playoffs, and that could be in jeopardy right now at 4-6.
Yeah, here's Bill Belichick after the game.
It's disappointing. But we'll just turn the page here and move on. Still have a lot of confidence and belief in the team. If we just do things a little bit better, then I think the results will be different and better. But we just couldn't do it today.
Yeah, you mentioned the Boston papers. One of the writers from Boston.com, I cannot recall the last time a quarterback made it look as easy against the Patriots defense as Deshaun Watson did in the first half
because
of that game.
Because they just don't. I was looking at something 2 days. They just don't allow. They had one quarterback throw for 300 yards against them last year. That was Ryan Fitzpatrick in week 17. This year, none. Russell Wilson didn't do it. You know, so Watson had 241 passing yards by halftime. He had 241 passing yards. So they really had their way. That defense got shredded by Deshaun Watson, especially in the first half. And, you know, that gives you some hope if you're the Cardinals. Look, I don't think this Patriot team is any good. I don't think they're any good. And, you know, the Cardinals off the mini bye, I'm hoping that extra rest for them will play a factor.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about the Patriots a little bit on Friday coming off the loss to Seattle. And in the moment, I was probably being maybe a little more respectful of New England than maybe I should have been. And I only say that because our last taste of Patriots football was their win over the Ravens. A couple of things have happened since they beat the Ravens. The Ravens lost again. They're on the outside looking in of the AFC playoff race right now, which is kind of surprising to believe. And then the Patriots went out and lost again to a Houston Texans team that just isn't very good. And so I know it's Belichick. I know it's the Patriots. I know it's an East Coast road trip. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I haven't really looked at it.
That's a good question.
It on Friday.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Weather's nice this time. November's nice.
It can be. It can be.
A little chill in the air. It's nice. The leaves are changing colors. I like that time of the year.
Okay.
Now you get into like December, it becomes okay. Now you start to get, you know, colder weather. Now it's the end of November, but usually it's not that bad by the end of November.
It was just looking at the Patriots team, and it's like, how much respect do you want to give them?
No, well, you got to give them some. Because
right? That's the thing. Okay. If they're anybody other than the Patriots, I think we're looking at this game and going, oh, this is a supremely winnable football game for the Arizona Cardinals.
It's more Belichick.
Yeah.
He'll get them ready.
Yes,
he will. He'll get them ready. You may not like them. They may have been. He'll get them ready.
Yep.
He'll have a plan. He'll take away whatever you do well. He's going to take that away. That's what he's good at.
If this were Garden Variety East Coast trip and you're playing Garden Variety 4-6 team, I don't think there's a whole lot of concern about this in terms of what if you lose. But because it's the Patriots and because it's him, because it's specifically Bill Belichick, I do think that has to ratchet up your concern level a little bit for the game. Because, look, it's cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. He's awfully good at taking away the one thing you like. Now, he wasn't able to do that yesterday because Houston was able to do whatever they wanted to whenever they wanted to, right? But typically, he's really good at taking away the one thing you really like doing the most and eliminating that off of the table.
Yeah.
Wasn't able to do that yesterday, but you got to give him a little bit of extra respect. because it's Belichick and because it's the Patriots. Anybody else, and I'm not that worried about
Cliff,
this game.
You know, Cliff, who was there, you know, learned under, you know, Belichick and Brady, and, you know, he knows how difficult it's going to be to go up against a coach who's going to be so well prepared. You know, you have a little extra time to get ready, you have a little extra time to heal and get healthy, and a little extra time to game plan as well. And, you know, one of the things I'd like to see with the Cardinals is not to get off to such a slow start. Come out of the gates a little bit quicker.
Text the word gates to 620-620, and then listen for your name tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. We're giving away two brand-new barbecue grills and two custom Arizona Sports cornhole sets. You'll also be invited to an exclusive virtual tailgate featuring Arizona Sports hosts and a chance to win a $250 gift card and Yeti cooler from Four Peaks. Text the word GATE to 620-620. The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. It is presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company. When we come back tomorrow, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will release their first rankings of the season. All of these cancellations, all of these postponements, what will those rankings look like? We'll talk about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. So tomorrow is the first official college football playoff rankings that are going to be released.
I don't care. I don't care. It's just get the season over with. Make your money and move on. It's a disaster. ASU's going to play on Sunday this week.
Yeah, I know.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
You get the Devils and the Card. What time is the Devils game?
We don't even know. Sarah, they haven't announced it yet. We don't even know a network, right? We don't even know who's going to – I assume it's going to be like on FS1 or ESPN2 or something like that. I would think.
But we still don't know.
We still don't know what time, yeah.
How do they not know?
I imagine they're buying themselves as much time as they possibly can. Herm Edwards released a statement, today, in which he said, "I appreciate everybody's thoughts and prayers. I'm going to be back on the practice field soon. I'm getting over my symptoms." I had read something I don't know if you read the same thing. It was Doug Howler over at The Athletic who, when writing about the two cancellations, the Cal and the Colorado cancellations, that sometime right before that, Herm made an appearance on his weekly radio show, and Doug even said he didn't quite sound like himself. Like he sounded a little – I put that in my notes somewhere that Doug Howler had kind of observed during one of his most recent radio appearances, probably his most recent radio appearance, that he didn't quite sound like himself. So he's clearly recovering from it. He acknowledged as much in his statement that he released. And we'll see. We'll see when he's back on the practice field, and we'll see what time that game is planning on be playing. But you're ultimately – I care a little only because I'm trained to care about these rankings being released tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have told you all season long I am having a hard time mustering up interest in this year's college football season. And this Saturday was no different, man. I watched Ohio State, Indiana for like an hour.
Yeah.
And I watched a little Northwestern, Wisconsin for about an hour and a half.
3 hours, baby.
Wow. That's what you did on
Saturday. Soaked that thing down, cleaned that whole thing, power washed it. Yeah.
Wow.
Got everything out for bulk pickup that we wanted to get rid of.
Look at you. I'm assuming
man's work.
Alabama is going to be in the top four. I'm assuming Notre Dame is going to be in the top four. I'm assuming Ohio State's going to be in the top four. After
Clemson?
That,
Clemson lost the
Double overtime to Notre
Dame.
Lost
double overtime to Notre Dame, and then they lost this week because Florida State was afraid to play them.
Well, they didn't lose this. They didn't lose this week. They're still 7-1.
You want to fight? Okay, I'll meet you 3 o'clock at the handball courts. Clemson shows up. Florida State doesn't. Where is he? You want to fight? All right.
We'll see. Now, what's interesting about these rankings, and I agree with you fundamentally that this year it just doesn't have the teeth that it normally does.
Man, it just doesn't. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have a hard time getting into it. I really am.
I want to see where Cincinnati is. I want to see where BYU is.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see where those two group of five teams are. There was a report over the weekend that the University of Washington was trying to schedule BYU last minute. And BYU basically said, "Yeah, no, we're good, we're fine."
Yeah, because they watched the Arizona game. They watched the Wildcats. Yeah,
you talk about
feel free. Yeah, BYU was like, "You want to play Washington? Hold on, let's take a look at them." Well, they scored every time they had the ball against Arizona. Yeah, no, we'll pass. Yeah.
Even though wasn't it the exact same day that BYU from its like football account tweeted, "Anytime, any place.
Yeah, their quarterback,
says, no, thank you.
Zach Wilson was wearing a headband during their game on Saturday that said that.
That said anytime,
that
any
said
place.
That specifically.
Okay. All right, and then dude. They don't.
We're giving it to you. Anytime, any place. Well, here you go.
Oh, but we sure love to talk, don't we, BYU? Okay.
What was U of A down? Was U of A down like 33-0 in that game?
Ooh, I don't.
What did they down like? Down so big in that game.
Your girl got into some wine at that point, so I don't remember
yeah.
the details.
You broke out the Moscato.
The Moscato.
Did you break out the Moscato?
Moscato, am I 19?
The Moscato.
Come
seriously,
on.
Seriously, my
wife likes Moscato.
I went to Walgreens, got the $4 bottle.
I mean, what's next? Boone's Farm? I mean, Moscato?
My wife
Thunderbird. Yes. Thunderbird, yeah, Thunderbird,
seven
baby.
Seven Daughters Moscato or something like that.
I've not had that.
Wow, you know, you should take your, when things open up again, you take your wife on like a wine tasting, you know.
I took her for her 30th birthday, nice. 2 years ago for her 30th birthday.
Uh-huh.
When Blake Shelton sang to her.
And she still drinks Moscato?
I took her on I took her to Napa.
And she still drinks Moscato?
No, I mean, she drinks a lot of other stuff too. But, no, I took her to a private wine tasting tour.
I'm just teasing her.
That's
a good gift.
That's a great gift.
I was tasting a wine too, and my wife was, I think you might have been buzzed because you started eating all the berries off the tree. I was like, these berries?
First of all, time out on the floor. They're not berries, they're grapes.
Grapes.
It's good. A vineyard, they're vines.
Can I eat these grapes? And I started to eat the grapes right off the vines. Yeah, I was eating the grapes off the vine. I don't think I was, but I was feeding the squirrels, you know, because we had bread and cheese, and she thinks I might have, I I've never been drunk before in my life. Never have been.
If you've never been drunk before, all right, which you claim you haven't, and I do actually believe you. One or two of those wine tastings in Napa, and you're there. You're there.
That'll get you.
That'll get you.
They put like six glasses in front of you.
I know.
They give you some bread and cheese and stuff, but there's like six glasses. You taste it, and all of a sudden, like, can I eat the grapes off the tree? I want to see what they taste
so
like.
So BYU said no to Washington. They said they're waiting for the rankings, which will come out tomorrow. Of course, we mentioned this the last time we talked about this, and we mentioned this during our show prep. If BYU wants to impress some folks, there is an open slot on their schedule, and Cincinnati has an open slot on their schedule, and it's the same weekend.
I like it. I like it.
Make it. All right. If you don't want to go play Washington,
make it rain.
Go play Cincinnati.
Yes.
Go play Cincinnati. You're both
undefeated.
Winner gets in. Winner makes a really compelling case
because,
for being in.
Oh, look at the win you would have on your resume.
Absolutely.
For the winner. Play each other.
Oh, my God.
That would be fantastic. Okay. I'll get behind college football if BYU plays Cincinnati. I want to watch that game.
Wow. Big promises. Promises, promises,
Gambo. Let's go BYU.
Promises, promises.
I would watch that game. I would watch that game.
Meanwhile, in college basketball, boy, we talk about how crazy it's been for ASU football-wise with the two cancellations of Cal and Colorado. Man, things just got nuts with their college basketball schedule. They were scheduled to play Baylor in the Empire Classic. Baylor's head coach announced that he had COVID, Scott Drew. So ASU said, well, we're not playing you. And Villanova said, we don't want to play the winner of ASU and Baylor because you guys might have it too. So ASU's like, well, we'll go back there for this tournament, this preseason non-conference tournament. We'll play somebody else somewhere else, but we're not going to play Baylor. And Baylor's like, well, fine, we're going to go. We're going to show up. And nobody wanted to play them. The tournament ended up asking Baylor not to come. So now ASU, instead of playing somebody else in some other tournament,
going to play Rhode Island.
Will still play in the Empire Classic, but they're going to play Rhode Island. And if they win, then they would play Villanova in the champ, or Villanova or Boston College, whichever wins. It's probably going to be Villanova.
I'm surprised they're making the trip.
All right.
And I think, and I said to you earlier, I think we're going to see similar situations in basketball as we are in football, where games are just, we can't play.
Yeah. Well, we've
got Baylor.
Yeah.
Can't play.
U of A and AU. Nope. They were supposed to play on Wednesday. They're not. There's a Lumberjack who tested positive. I believe this affected Duke or one of Duke's opponents. We were Duke Gardner-Webb. It impacted that game as well.
I know that's a big game for you every year when NAU plays U of A.
Well, I don't know who to root for. Those are
You're an NAU guy. Where'd you get your degree from?
NAU.
You're an NAU guy. You could say you went to all three. You're an NAU guy.
I did go to all three.
Yeah, but the only thing that you put on your wall says NAU, right? That thing that you put on your wall, what's that called?
Diploma?
Diploma. The diploma?
The diploma.
Right. You put that on your wall.
I do have my NAU diploma because I didn't get a diploma from U of A.
Right.
I didn't go there long enough.
And you didn't get one from ASU.
I didn't get one from ASU.
So you're an NAU guy.
It'd be nice to see NAU beat U of A.
You'd be all over that.
Yeah, sure. But being a guy who went to all three, you know what's great about that? I can root for whichever of the three whenever I want for any reasons I choose. Like if there's a benefit for U of A winning, sure, I'll root for U of A. Why not? I have no reason not to. Same for ASU, same for NAU. I'm a total mercenary.
But if you ever were going to donate money to an athletic department, which one would it be?
Oh.
NAU. Oh.
I would St. John's.
NAU.
They need it more.
Walter Berry, Chris Mullen, Mark Jackson, Bill Weddington.
Willie Carnesecca. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, Phoenix Suns have added quite a few new pieces to their roster over the last week. Now that things are starting to come into focus, where do they stand in the Western Conference? If you believe what Vegas is saying about them, quite well. And we'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.